Welcome to the final episode of Bob Knows Best of 2020, a weekly podcast, or fortnightly at the moment, a podcast where we talk about kitchens, construction, interiors, and anything else we want to talk about. Plus, we all, as always, insights and stories from the man himself, Mr. Bob Ruler. How are you, Bob?
Yeah, good. In these obviously strange times, as I always say. But let's look forward, let's look up. You know, 2021's another year.
That's it.
I'm another year older, another year wiser. But there we go.
So it's Christmas on Friday. What's your plans?
Not a lot, really, because we can't really go out and about.
No.
I'm going to chase the turkey around the garden. No, I'm not really. We're have a nice, me and Julie, a nice little dinner at home. Maybe a bottle of wine or two. Watch the Queen's speech. Watch a James Bond film. And then look forward to the football boxing day.
That's it. Yeah, you had a good result the weekend as well.
Yeah,
didn't
you? We beat Leeds. Sorry for those Leeds fans. But you got hammered by the famous Manchester United.
Yeah, somewhere famous. Do you think, I just thought, every Christmas, we do whatever it is we do at Christmas, depending on who we are. Now, normally that involves lots of time with family, friends, going out for dinner, all that kind of stuff. But this Christmas is going to be very personal, isn't it? It's going to be close proximity, you know?
I don't know. I mean, look, yeah. I mean, you can't go around and see your families as much as you would like. But it doesn't stop you getting on the phone or Zooming or other forms. You know, it's a new world.
Yep.
You know, we've got to all adapt. And this, sadly, I don't think it's going to go away in 2021. I think we'll still be talking about it, but hopefully better in 2021 by the end of it. But you've got to use the modern technologies that are available now to communicate with your family and your loved ones. And I think that's very, very important.
Yeah.
You know, talking is good, seeing is better.
Of course.
But, you know, restrictions. And we have to follow the government guidelines because, I mean, God almighty, whatever you're right for doing wrong and you're wrong for doing right. So let's follow what the government say. Whoever our leader is, we just got to follow what they say.
Yeah, I mean, sort of normally Christmas is one side of the family, the one Christmas day, and the other side on the Boxing Day of my family.
Yeah.
Now, what we've all sort of said, we've spoke between ourselves, we're going to do a couple of doorstep visits to like my nan and my dad, for the little ones, see them, and then it's going to be sort of home, lock the door. And there's part of me that's really selfish here, because normally my son, who turned 4 in October, he gets home from wherever we've been on Christmas Day, whether we've been out for dinner or to relatives or whatever. Yeah, we come home at tea time, and that's our chance now. Right, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
But he's exhausted.
Yeah.
So Christmas Day is always everybody else gets a piece of him, and me and the wife come last on that one. Right. Whereas this one, I get to lock that door at lunchtime on Christmas Day, and I get to have the whole day with my boy.
You're a games man. You'll be
that's it. Me and him will be doing all kinds of stuff, and he's sort of like, I'm putting this as dealing with the best way of a bad situation, the fact that we can't be with our families as such the way we normally would, but you can still make the most of times that you don't normally do.
Well, it's adaption, isn't it? You've got to make the most of, you know, they're all here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people, sadly, they're not here this Christmas.
That's right. Yeah.
So we're all here, we're all breathing. So talk, have a bit of fun where you can, because that's what human beings do. We love a laugh. My little grandson says to me, everybody must laugh. That is the famous saying. You've got to have a bit of a giggle. I mean, for business, we've survived this year. It's been very up and down, not easy, but we have. And we look forward to the challenges next year, which will be, I think, even more so with Brexit, with the virus and everything else. There's lots of challenges, but sometimes challenges are interesting. It's how you get round them, how you get over them. You know, and that's what the British people, you know, our friends in Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, the British Isles people, when it gets hard, we seem to get around things and over things.
Stiff upper lip.
And we've done it many times in our history. So we need everybody putting together and doing that, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, support the NHS, keep yourself healthy so you don't burden the NHS, because them poor people are going to be really, really busy with winter normally.
Flu season, yeah.
Yeah, and now we've got the added complication of COVID. So we just got to stay cheery, enjoy Christmas, and do what we've got to do, and let's do it. Come on. You know?
Absolutely, I agree. So we're not really going to go into too much business or...
No, kitchens, it's Christmas. Let's be honest, kitchens are kitchens.
Yeah.
This time of the year, you want a kitchen with a turkey in it, and your oven working, and especially netting the dishwasher, right? Because you do need a good netting the dishwasher, right? You know, and that's what it's all about this time of year. It's not a lot about business, because business, here we are on the 22nd, it's everything's shut now until the 4th, and it's a time for families and people enjoying each other as you can do it, you know.
That's right. So we'll go through our heads questions to ask, and you've just made me think of a new one first. Turkey.
Yeah.
Do you eat turkey any other time of the year other than Christmas?
Sometimes, but very rare.
Oh, don't. Me and my mother-in-law argue about this every year, because we've got our turkey for Christmas, but we don't. I don't think we do. If turkey was that great, why do we only have it once a year?
Well, the thing being, it's a bit of tradition. But where I do have my turkey in the summer, I'll get a nice bit of turkey and I bump myself on these bleeding great big egg, ceramic egg barbecues.
Oh, yeah.
So I get it and I put some flavourings on it and rubs on it, and like they do in America, right? And then I stuff it on the top of this big chimney. Right, and stick it in the barbecue and leave it in there for about 4 hours.
Okay.
And it's fabulous.
All right.
With salad, see, and that is a good meat. It's a good healthy meat, turkey.
Mm, yeah, it's good. Lots of protein. It's lean, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's good for you.
Yeah. Well, we have the customary argument about having turkey. Then we end up having turkey.
Yeah, well, and then, see, the wife's right then, really. You know.
In a sense. Yeah. In a sense, for a quiet life, she is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but Christmas is about eating. You know, it is about turkey and just having food you like and overindulging. Right, it's one time of the year, let's get fat. Right, let's put some bloody poundage on. Right, because that's what it's all about. You know?
Yeah, there's no naughty list this year, is there?
No, you've got to do that, like, yeah. I've got to tell you a story. Right, when I was a young man, we used to meet up in Essex, Chelmsford, and we used to all go out and have a few beers, you know?
Yeah.
About 8-9 of us. All from sort of building industry, really, all friends, and most of them are still friends to me, with me, this present day. And we used to go out and buy your friend's wife a present. Right, so you'd all go out, say 12 of us went out, you put 12 people in a hat, and everybody had to go out and buy a girl's present. Right, now some of us are married, some of us were going out, long-term relationships, some have new girlfriends, you know, because it was that era. And you know, you'd go out and you'd buy sort of dishwasher tablets. Right, you know. It couldn't be a sexual thing, so it had to be something really, you know, funny, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of the things, like, and then you whoever you drew out the hat, you addressed it to, say, if I said Julie Chambers or something like that. Right, I put Julie Chambers on it, and then like from the husband. Right, so Christmas morning, right, she opened this up and there was a fucking dishwasher tablet, like, you know, but it was the best one I bought was starch spray. And I put a little note in it, was never happy with me cutting collars on my shirt. Right? It nearly called my mate to have a divorce, I'm telling you. It was so fantastic.
Oh, God, but, yeah. you could cause absolute mayhem.
Yeah, I bought a mop head. but it was great fun. Great fun. That's where we could go out and have a drink and socialise. We met up at 12 o'clock in the pub, 3 or 4 beers, and off we went. And we had to come back to the pub with all the presents all wrapped up.
Oh.
It was absolutely, gone for years.
It
was funny as...
That sounds hilarious.
So if you want a game to play, lads, that is the game to play, because it is good. And you don't know who you're buying for until you draw it out of the hat.
Wow.
So it's even, you know, it's
that just works on so many levels, though.
It's good fun. It's
good so fun. Many good levels.
Fun. Good fun.
What about Brussels sprouts?
I hate them.
Me too.
I absolutely hate them.
Me too.
Right? I've been married for God knows 37 years.
Wow.
My missus at Christmas still puts Brussels sprouts on my bleeding plate. And every year I say I don't like Brussels sprouts, and I end up flicking them off the plate, right? And I'm sure she'll do it again this year as well. Right, anybody can actually like a Brussels. I've tried them with bacon wrapped around them. I've tried them all sorts of ways, cooked different ways, everything. They are the most horriblest thing that's ever grown in the ground.
Yeah, it's the Brussels sprouts one's probably more pertinent than the turkey one I was just talking about, because again, we never have them, but my wife and my mother-in-law will make, I say make, will cook Brussels sprouts for Christmas dinner.
My perfect, this is Bob Rulon, Christmas dinner. Turkey breast with homemade chestnut and cranberry stuffing. Served with pigs in blankets, coated with honey. Then we have the Bob Rulon mix, which you get a swede, carrots, bit of pepper, right, and you mash it like anything, and you put it on a plate in a nice little circle. Then you must have garden peas, roast potatoes, and I do like a Yorkshire pudding. So if you're going to invite me around for dinner, that's what I want.
This isn't any Christmas dinner. This is a Bob Rulon Christmas dinner.
And that's got to be followed by Christmas pud with clotted cream and brandy sauce.
Have you seen the supermarkets? The one we buy every year, and I could eat it like it's a yoghurt. Bailey's extra thick, like the whipping cream, dessert cream.
No, I've never tried it.
Do you like Bailey's?
Yes.
It is I could put that on a Jacob's cream cracker and it tastes nice. This cream is so good. Supermarkets, Bailey's.
I'm gonna get some of that.
Do it. You will not regret it.
I'm gonna get some of that. Sounds good.
It costs me a fortune, and I've got long dates on the double until the beginning of April. It's perfect. So yeah, we've got the Bob Rulon Christmas dinner. That was brilliant. What about, do you remember, because you said watching the James Bond movie on Christmas Day. I remember when I was a kid, and this is what started my love for it. Christmas Eve on Channel 3, I don't know if it was called ITV when I was a child. You're talking about 25 odd years ago.
ITN then, I think, or something like that.
ITN maybe, yeah. But on Channel 3, Christmas Eve was Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
I've never watched a Star Wars.
That pains me to hear, to be honest.
I've never, ever watched one Star Wars in my life. Right, do you know the reason?
So I was a Star Trekkie. I like both, but I'm amazed that, especially, it was your day, wasn't it?
Yeah, really? When Star Wars came out. Just when they first came out.
Yeah.
But everybody went mad on it, and I know it was more into the Sex Pistols and the Clash than Star Wars. So yeah, that was it, really, I'm afraid. And nightclubs.
I remember it was Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope on Christmas Eve, The Empire Strikes Back on Christmas Day, which is the best Star Wars film, and then Boxing Day was Return of the Jedi, and that was a yearly.
So I remember James Bond, Dr. No, Russell,
yeah.
Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball.
Yeah.
You only lived twice. All the Sean Connery ones. And that's another sort of thing. Sean Connery passed on this year.
He did.
Lost a lot of people this year. A lot of good people, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of good people.
Sean Connery was a terrific actor.
But we're getting to the, I mean, it's my age, isn't it? Because the people that I looked up to are older than me, and I'm only 21, believe it or not.
It's true.
wish I was. But no, you look up to these people, and sadly they're all now going to be getting to the latter years of their life, and hopefully, you know, they carry on a few more years, because of, especially some of the bands like the Stones, Rod Stewart, Elton John, U2, you want to see them back on the road touring, because I love music and
yeah,
I've done from all my life. And it's sad that them guys that have been the pinnacle of the music industry for so long, especially like the Stones, even Cliff Richard, you need to, you know, people want to see them, you know. But again, maybe we've got to tour differently, you know, instead of all going and having 90,000 people in Wembley Stadium watching Bruce Springsteen or Rod Stewart or the Stones or something, you've got to go to a field and you rent a tent or an area in that field and you rent it for 6 or 7 people. And yeah, maybe that's where, you know, that's where concerts may go. Mm-hmm. And I think it could go, but it needs somebody to organise it properly, you know, because you can't have, again, 50, 60,000 people all turning up at the same time. So you need to, you know, put yeah, people in areas that maybe come into a field and you're in an area blue, you have your parasol, like, and wait the service to that area if you want to have a few drinks. You know, people have got to think outside the boxes now.
Yeah, it's true. And performing arts is one of the hard ones because...
theatre, I love it. I love yeah, the theatre.
Well, the movies, the movie industry and the television industry have been allowed to continue, and even the movies have reacted by sort of, okay, we can't screen at the cinema, so we'll launch it onto...
Is that going to be the death of cinemas, though?
I hope not, because I love...
So do I. That's what I say. I love going to yeah, see an epic film
yeah, yeah,
at the cinema. And yeah, I think if I was going to see a Star Wars, I wouldn't want to watch it on my television. I'd want to go to the cinema to watch... But you know, the first ones.
We should video diary, me and you, finding a cinema when we can, they're showing Star Wars, and we can go and watch it and do a watch party.
You know, I mean, the big thing, again, with cinema, is maybe in the summer there was a lot of driving.
Outdoor cinemas, yeah, absolutely.
And maybe that's the way forward.
Maybe. But,
you know, I mean, I don't know, I mean, years ago, back in the 60s when there was drive-ins in this country, the film wasn't that good quality, the sound wasn't that good quality. That's all changed these days.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's the way forward. But the whole of the fabric of the Western world, because that's what I know, I think it's going to have to change and adapt.
Yeah.
And it's going to be forced to, because, you know, if this is around like it is this year, from, you know, it's going to just happen. We're going to have to change and adapt.
I mean, virtual reality nowadays.
I could be sitting here, but not here. Oh, we used to call them ghosts.
We know that I've got some VR on my gaming setups and whatever. And you can watch football matches and concerts and things like that in virtual reality. Now, virtual reality is still, it's been around for years, yeah, VR has, but it's only sort of over the last, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years that it's really leveled up. I mean, we were at KBB in March. There's a design company now that is doing VR to showrooms.
So I think the big thing that may happen next year is, this year we've all got used to Zooms, Teams, and that sort of communication. I just think there'll be a next step in that. They'll make it a lot more instant, a lot more easier to do, you know, and set up. Because technology is going to be the thing that maybe helps us, you know, fight this terrible pandemic thing. But you know, let's not be happy. Let's, you know, it's Christmas, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. And we need to. You need to watch at least one Star Wars.
Oh, I don't know about that. If I do, I'll go out to cinema. But I've never ever watched one.
I'm going to figure that out. We're going to video diary.
Yeah. I mean, the new James Bond film's out supposedly finally in April, but. If cinemas are not open, they're going to have to release it on Netflix or something, aren't they? You know,
Daniel Craig's last one is Bond, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been a good Bond.
I agree.
Yeah, it's been a good Bond. I still think Sean Connery was the ultimate.
Yeah, you're old school, aren't you?
Yeah, but he was just great. Yeah, but Daniel Craig's been good. I think most of the Bonds have been good.
No, right.
You know, and what's his name? Roger Moore, done a good job, but made it a bit too funny, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot of sort of, it was a tongue-in-cheek sort of, like, got them, it was almost like carry-on style facial reactions. Yeah,
the one took over from him was Timothy Dalton, and I think he was most probably the most underestimated James Bond ever.
Charming guy.
Yeah, because he actually brought James, I mean, the opening scene when he nuts somebody, you couldn't see Roger Moore doing that. No. You know, and he brought it back to reality a little bit. And I think he should have made more films, Timothy Dalton.
I grew up with Pierce Brosnan as more James Bond.
Yeah, Pierce was good. Looked the part, didn't he?
The charm.
He looked the part and he charmed the part. I don't think the films were that good, though, for him. I think he was good, but I don't think the films were that good.
Yeah, you know? I think it was sort of... Well, to me, now I look back at it, I wasn't ready because, to me, James Bond was Brosnan when I was younger. Right. But like you look back at now, in my 30s, and there was a huge leap when he went to Brosnan. Yeah. The movies changed, way more action, technology, and the technology went from sort of the Bond technology expected all the way to a whole new level of this.
But then when Brosnan went, right, and Daniel Craig took over, I think he brought it back to that Sean Connery era.
He made it real, Daniel Craig.
Yeah, he made it real. But yeah, it's great. It's a fantastic film franchise. Yeah. And I'm bloody getting excited even talking about it. Stuff with Star Wars, mate. James Bond, anytime, even take on that Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. James Bond versus Darth Vader is a celebrity.
Yeah. Oh, look, you could have a film company.
We've had Freddy versus Jason, Bond versus Vader. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I like him, I like Bruce Willis,
The first one in particular with Alan Rickman.
I like Die Hard. I like Bruce Willis.
There's a debate every year is Die Hard a Christmas movie, and there's one side of the fence that says yes, which I agree with, I think it is, and there's the other side that is my wife.
I like watching it Christmas, so yeah, I'll say it is.
To me, justify it, set on Christmas Eve during a Christmas party. That finishes a sort of like the end of the Christmas
time. It's a Christmas movie, isn't it?
It's surrounded by Christmas music. I mean, even the soundtrack, the score, not the song, the composed score, is slowed down versions of Christmas carols. And
you know something I think is a bit sad in the cinema at the moment? And okay, we haven't had many films released this year. Is them sort of diehard movies, right, which were a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but good action.
Yeah.
There seems to be a lack of them about now.
Yeah. What's your favourite Christmas film then?
White Christmas. Bing Crosby. Watched it yesterday. Watched it yesterday. It's only because when I was a kid, right, it was the Saturday Christmas afternoon film on every Christmas when I was a kid, on black and white. And it was on yesterday afternoon and I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. He was brilliant though, wasn't he? What a Fraser. Like, phrasing, see? Vocalism is phrasing. Bono does it. Rod Stewart does it. Mick Jagger does it. Like the great vocalists do that, and Bing Crosby started that phrasing off, and then Frank Sinatra, he phrased things, you know. Tony Bennett, like masterclasses, mate, masterclasses.
Yeah.
Of the vocals, you know, and you can only sing when you're feeling right. You can play guitar if you're feeling shite, but you can't sing unless you're feeling right. And I'm a poet, and I don't know it. It's a good fun one today. Good fun one.
Yeah. What about New Year's Eve?
Well, again, that's going to be strange.
Fireworks on the telly?
Nah, I think New Year's Eve. It's just going to be strange, isn't it?
Mm.
It's going to be, because normally New Year's Eve, you go out with a lot of friends, socialise, Auld Lang Syne and all that. Lovely. Been down. Look at the crowds and the fireworks you see in London.
Okay, we haven't got to ask me anything this week, so I'm just going to ask you one last Christmas question. What is the ultimate Christmas present?
The ultimate Christmas present is something you like.
Okay, what's the greatest Christmas present you've ever had?
The greatest Christmas present I've ever had? My second son, Dudley, was born on the 15th of December. That was quite nice. I think it actually was my trying bike when I was 7.
There you go.
It was my first two-wheeler, right? And my mum and dad were quite poor at the time, and we didn't think money existed. So I think my dad gave 2 chickens and a piece of beef to the local bike shop. And I ended up with this, and it must have been an end of line, because it was pink and mauve. All my mates took the piss out of me, but it was my lovely bike. I did like it. trying. And I had some fun with a friend of mine, still a great friend of mine today, Pete Chambers, and we raced around the block on our new bikes. That was the best Christmas present I've ever remembered.
And there you have it, and we can call it a day there. Thanks a lot for joining in on this year. I'm excited. We've got some new plans for 2021 and how we're going to do the podcast. Plenty of guests. We've actually got people sort of banging down the door trying to come on this podcast, haven't we? People want to come on.
But, yeah, everybody, please stay cheery. Think of your family, think of yourselves, and just have some fun. However you can do it.
Yes, yes. And thank you to everybody who's took the time to listen to the podcast. I was looking at the analytics the other day. We've got listeners in the UK, the USA, Singapore, Russia, Spain, the Netherlands, Germany. People listen. So thank you to every single person who's listened to our podcast over the last few months. We will be back in 2021, probably in the first week in January. Bob, thanks a lot for coming on and doing this.
I love it, man. I love it. It's good fun and yeah, great. Thanks for the opportunity.
That's it. So everybody, please enjoy Christmas and the new year. Whatever you're celebrating, enjoy the holidays, stay safe and have a happy 2021.